Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
You Cannot Say, a poem that was written by Jay Hatter and then put to music and sung by the poet Shout Even Shy. You are listening to A Team of Voices Radio, and we are sponsored by A.P. Taylor. This is Deborah Lee, and I am your hostess tonight. I am from A Team of Voices Radio. We are a chat group, radio group, that hangs out on allpoetry.com, which is one of the largest sites out there. And if you're a member, or if you decide to join, you can find us under the group tab. Just click that, and then on the list you'll see A Team of Voices. I'll meet you at the door and share the rules with you and let you in. And if you would like to call and participate, the number to do so is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And you can also participate by hanging out in the room and just clicking on the links, which we share in the chat group so that everyone can read along and write some comments down for the poets. If you'd like to share your work, just follow the topic boards on top of the chat wall, which all start by the date of the show. And when you click it, you'll find what the prompts are and what the particular rules are for each host and hostess that's hosting that night. And with all of that said, I think we will get this show on the road. Now, we just finished a series that started way back in January, February, and each week I would choose 10 quotes by one of our fellow poets, and I would give options of art to choose from, and the poets would pick a quote and pick a piece of art and share on the show. And that was such an amazing, successful topic because some of the poems that we were inspired to write by our peers were really off the hook. They were fantastic. It's actually one of my favorite series that I've done so far. And with all that being said, we started that on the first night by mixing up quotes by the board members, AP, Sweet Pea, Hatter, and myself. And tonight will be the last show of that series, so I figured we would go out the same way we started. And there are 16 quotes on the board, 4 by each of the board members, and the, aside from choosing their quote or quotes and a piece of art to write to, I asked the poets to make guesses as to whom they thought wrote each of those 16 quotes. And the person who makes the most correct guesses wins 10,000 points. And in case of a tie, both poets each get 10,000 points, and so on. So let me say hello to some of the people in the studio. Let me start with my co-host, my big brother, Hatter. Hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
Hey. Yeah, I see what AP was saying about not recognizing your own lines.
Yeah, well, it just so happens that Sweet Pea said the same thing. And I learned from the one we did at the beginning, because I carefully selected them so that it wasn't stone cold easy. And last time, a couple people said, it seemed like you were trying to maybe fake us out, and a lot of them seemed like they were yours. So this time I was smart enough to save the poem that went with each quote so that, you know, afterwards the poets can look at that list and see that although I might have been trying to fool you, it wasn't giving you a quote that was not by one of the board members. It was just trying to make it a little harder to guess. So we shall see. But big brother is the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life and the just finished her birthday weekend girl, Kay and Steven. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you are here. And we have 111111, which is almost always Raconteur. Is that you, Rack?
That's me. How you doing?
Hey, Rack. Glad you're here. And right behind Raconteur looks like Mr. David Prophet, our storyteller poet. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, thanks, Deb. My best time of my evening so far.
Oh. Well, that's always nice to hear. Any time now, I expect to say, Dave, is that you? And hear a voice that I don't recognize saying, no, Deborah Lee, it's the Dark Mother. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, I feel sorry for the folks at Disneyland.
No, I was laughing. That was a fun one.
All right,
you guys. So let me... Here, Chaos is on the board saying peekaboo. Hello, Chaos. And I see Wayne and I see Angel. And Stephen and Kay are on that board. And I also wanted to shout out to one of our board members, Mr. A.P. Teller, as he is in surgery right now. And sending love and light and prayers and keeping my fingers crossed that everything goes well. I'll let you guys know the update when I get it. And, okay, let's get Kay's poem And we will start off this show with our, well, she should celebrate it for the rest of the month, so with our birthday girl. Okay, if you don't mind, kick us off, please, and tell us which quote you chose.
Yeah. Well, technically, I have been as far as celebrating my birthday. I'm milking it out just because. So, okay.
Good.
The quote that stood out to me is the last one, waterways weave a tapestry of life through the botanical forest. And I call this provincials in the heart of sandy beaches and Cerulean harbor days light the mist of eggshell white grown through. Chartreuse thistles breathe through juniper snapshots of sunflowers' flight. A berry splash of thyme and songs of cardinals, rosebuds of vine recloaked. Parched bones on a journey of night as driftwood's recollections sealed in its place. End poem.
Wow, talk about imagery. I'm going to start with that last line there. Parched bones on a journey of night in driftwood's recollections fielding its place. Okay, parched bones, like you can figure dried out bones, parched, hit by the sun type of thing. So pretty wicked. And on a journey of night is driftwoods. Driftwoods are usually something that have been drifting at sea for a while and then get shipwrecked on the beach there. And I like the driftwood's recollections fielding its place. I thought that was really cool, like just like the piece of driftwood tries to find its place. So the metaphors there are really awesome. And I like, well, of course I like the picture from the prompts, but I really like that picture at the top too. And it's funny how it has also has the sunflowers and the moon. So like you paired those perfectly. Like I would have, wow, really cool. But sandy beaches and cerulean harbor grays light the mist of eggshell white swirling through. The visuals there are absolutely gorgeous. And it's like you found a way to mix nature and feelings and metaphors, and you always do it so different than anybody else ever does. Chartreuse thistles and berry splash. I mean, so many awesome lines. But I also wanted to mention that I thought it was really cool that you found a way to put songs of cardinals in there, because I know how much you love those. So it's just a gorgeous treat for the senses with the sights and the sounds and even the thought of the way that it would smell by the beach, you know. So it's just like it's a very pretty.
Hey, Deb.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Can we ask her who she thought wrote the line?
Well, no, only because I'm trying.
Okay.
No, I get it, but I'm trying to give everybody just a few more minutes to see if anybody else wants to send their answers in before. I figured after we did the first couple poems, I would reveal the answers, and if she guesses, I have to say yay or nay, and so yeah.
Well, no. You don't have to answer that. Just what she thinks. You don't have to give her the answer.
Well, she gave me her list, so you'll find out what she thinks shortly.
Okay.
Well, how about if you comment on her poem?
Oh yeah, now. completely. What you were saying, Kate developed into her own style, and. A lot like you, Deb, the description of where you're at. You guys use color more than I do. I mean, I don't think I use color at all in my work, but you guys have a very colorful imagery. Very good.
Thank you.
Great comment.
Happy birthday.
I'm rocking for what you think.
I thought it was gorgeous. You know, she's got a way of taking us out to nature. I think it's the way she's, you know, the same way she can go out and talk about her surroundings or you know, what she's seen during the day even, she could put herself into these pictures that you present, or the artwork that she finds online when she does her shows on their channel and stuff like that. And she very much projects into the stuff that you know, she does in a beautiful way. And she tends to tie it together, I think, too. Because to me, when she mentioned the bleached bones, I immediately thought of driftwood, and then the next line was driftwood. So I'm like, oh. So, you know, I don't know if that's what she meant when she meant the bleached bones or not, but, you know, to me, it was kind of a natural progression. So that turns her imagery into a type of journey of just her, like, you know, walking through the woods, or, you know, sitting on the beach. So I thought it was beautiful, Kay.
Thank you.
Great comment. And David?
Oh, sorry, I was talking to my mute button. Here we go. Anyway, this was really colorful. I really liked it. It matched the descriptions matched the picture very well. I always like the way Kay writes, because her words or poems leaves it open to such a wide interpretation. You know, we can all take our own little bit from her poem with us, and it all means something different to whomever reads it, which I think is really cool, and that shows a real high level of writing, you know, in my opinion. I really like this day. I thought it was beautiful, really pretty.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, will you comment for Kay, please?
Well, yeah, I thought that this was a gorgeous brevity. That's what I said in my comment. But I also, I always like the way that you always have a knack for combining nature and emotions and kind of tying them together. And you do it very well. And this is no exception.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, for those on the board, I'm pretty sure most of you already sent them in, but after Stephen reads his poem and we comment, and then I will ask him to tell us what's coming up at Poetic Slice of Life, I will be revealing the answers. So it gives everyone just a few more moments if they wanted to try and make a guess to see who they think wrote those quotes and to possibly win the 10,000 points. And I am putting that on the board again right now, just so you can click on it real quick, and don't put your answers there. Send them to me. But you're running out of time. Tick, 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 tick. So there they go. And let me pull Stephen's back down here to the forefront. And Stephen, would you please tell us what quote you chose, and then read for us, please.
Well, I chose quote number 2. Water flows into the ever after as magnolias wave and orange blossoms bloom. And I call this empty. An empty pillow, an empty chair, an empty place at dining table head, an empty workshop, an empty truck, an empty half of the master bed, unused tools, no frozen lathe, unfinished wide-eyed carvings wait, a fishing reel that's seized with rust and filament with brittle crust. An empty boat sits on the tarn, a stitched fedora that spins no yarn. End poem.
Well, I'll talk about starting off with empty emotions, with the empty chair and pillow and the place at the table. And whenever I see you choose the fishing boat as the prompt, and in this case, the empty fishing boat, I wonder if you are about to take us to a memory of your dad, because usually, if I remember correctly, the two of you, you know, would like to fish together. So I'm looking at this. And Then I see the empty pillow, like I said, and the empty chair, and at the table, and the workshop, and the truck, and I think, yeah, it took you to your dad. And there was something about the light shining on that boat and emphasizing that it's empty. And though the picture is beautiful, which would, to me, coordinate with, you know, the beautiful memories that you would have, that there's something so sad about it just drifting there by itself. There's nobody in there. There's nobody fishing. And you keep it going with the unused tools in a frozen lathe. And the fishing reel that's seized with rust, and each line, each piece just makes it even more powerfully sad, the loss, that how much you miss it, him, the whole circumstance, and a stitched fedora that spins no yarn. It's just really, really... It's really a powerful, okay, I think about you every day. Okay, if I would have just kept on going, I would have seen it. Okay. Like I said, whenever you're pulled to a boat that has something to do with fishing, it often takes you to your dad, and it pulls out these powerful brevities or, well, there's been longer ones, but it pulls out these powerful rites from you, and I'm sure it's mixed because it takes you to fond memories, but it reminds you of the sadness too, and that shows in your lines. So I think you did an excellent job with it. Thanks so much, Heather. What do you think?
Yeah, when I lost my dad, I'm assuming it would be along the same way. It's like when my dad died, my mom's. Would get upset about having to go get gas because my dad always made sure that there was gas in her car, things like that. But myself and my dad, we fished every weekend for several years, and there's no bigger emptiness than the boat. I'm sure Stephen can relate to that because I always wanted to turn around and see my dad there. Yeah, it really hit on this, the emptiness. This is really good, Stephen.
Thanks, Heather.
Awesome. And back and tour?
Yeah, you did a great job with this, Stephen. There's something about emptiness. That there's a riddle. What is it? The more you take away, the bigger it gets. And it's a hole. And that's what you kind of bringing about in my brain, you know, when you miss someone, when they're gone and it's empty, there's that hole. And the more you take away from that, the bigger it gets. You got the boat, you got the master bed. I mean, all those little pieces, bits and pieces just make that hole even bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's a fantastic title for what you're talking about. And, you know, it's beautiful that you guys shared, you know, the fishing, but it went beyond that too. You know, he was a father and, you know, a fisherman and everything else. And by mentioning the things that you do, you include that in your piece as well. You know, it was clear that you were talking about a family member. I mean, dads are usually, you know, I want to say closer, and my mind usually goes further up the chain to grandpa, but, you know, it works both ways, you know, and of course, you know, he could have been somebody's grandpa anyway. So anyways, I just thought it was a wonderful tribute, and you did a fantastic job with the imagery of it, you know, the old salt you.
Great comment, Rocky. David?
I really like this one. I think this is universal enough that you could apply it to just about anyone's dad. My father was a fisherman too, and he used to take me fishing all the time. And he also used to dabble around fixing radios and TVs and stuff. I used to go into his bedroom there, and all of this test equipment and stuff was just, and radios, all these dead radios and dead TVs and stuff in his bedroom there. And it was just, I just sat in there and was immersed in him. And, you know, when he passed, nobody touched that room and for a long, long time. It was just his room. And you know, they talk about spirits and stuff, but I could feel a presence every time I went into the room. And I thought you captured that storyline really well in this poem, Stephen. Well done.
Okay.
Awesome quote. I mean, comment. And let me get one more from Kay, please.
Well, yeah, I would have to agree with everybody. You know, I knew your father for decades, and I know that fishing was a big deal. And, yeah, I like how you honor him through this because since he passed, fishing has stopped. A lot of things have stopped. And I can relate to what Dave said, too, because it seemed weird once we passed through. Nobody wanted to sit in his chair. Nobody wanted to sit at his place at the table. It just didn't feel right after that for some time, actually. So I like how you honor your father, but you also bring in the feelings that were accurate, too.
Awesome comment. And, Stephen, do you want to tell us what's coming up at Poetic Slice of Life?
Yeah. I don't know if anybody heard that, but our cat just fell off the air conditioner. We just had one. Yeah, she really hit the floor. She's all right, though. We have one show this week, Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. It is Storyboards with Sky Darkholm, and it is our last Christmas in July show as well, as she is doing a celebration of holiday trees, and she's got images of so many different types of trees to write to. And you can even, you know, write to your own Christmas tree if you wanted to. But that's going to be a lot of fun. She's doing that also because to also honor Kay's birthday a little bit, too. So, that's going to be at 8 p.m. on Thursday over at Aquatic Slice of Life. And if I may shamelessly plug my book, I'd appreciate it. I do have the book out there called Eerie Depths. It's available on Amazon.com. And I actually had the second book of the series published this morning called The Eerie Ocean, also available on Amazon.com.
Oh, cool. Congratulations on the second one. That's fantastic. Keep belting them out. That's awesome, Stephen. I'm happy for you. All right. Now, let's see. I am now cutting it off. I'm adding the very last link. The last guesses I just got from David. And, okay, now, what I'm going to do is first, very quickly, I'm going to show, this is just for later when people want to compare them. Okay, now, these are the 16 quotes that were the prompts that everyone got to choose from on the board. And these are the answers to those. Now, one note, I have not compared any of the answers yet. So after the show, I'll sit down and see who guessed what and who's got the most and all that kind of stuff. But I want you guys to have a place to already take a look and compare your own guesses if you would like. So,
who won last time?
Huh?
Who won the last time?
Hatter won the last time.
That's right. Hatter won.
He won. He got every single one of them. So we will see how he does this year. And he did guess, and it's locked in my draft with everybody else's answers where I just added in David's. And let me just double-check real quick to make sure nobody sent me one. Just give me half a second here. Refresh. Hit that. Okay, that's it. No more guessing as of right now. Here are the answers. And then right under it. We'll call these the proof. This is the list of the poems that each quote came from. That way, when you realize that a couple, like I think even Sweet has some lines in one of them that were rhyming, so I tell you, Sweet did not make any guesses because it drove her so crazy she had to reach out and ask me what her lines were because she couldn't take it anymore. So here is the proof. Okay. Now, back to back, all are on the board, the exact quotes, who wrote them, and then the poems they came from. So we have them there for later on. And with that being said, I am going to go grab another poem link off the board and keep us flowing here with poetry so we can make sure we fit them all in. And, all right, now, let me see. Grab your poem, David, and bring it to the board. And as soon as there's voices. Okay, so David, as soon as you see your poem, if you would tell us the quote or quotes that you chose and then read for us, please.
Tell us not the mute button, Dave.
Yep.
Yep. You guys know me better than I know myself. Okay, I chose two prompts. Number 9 and number 15. And this is sort of an introduction of how the Dark Mother came about. I hope you find it interesting. And it's called The Dark Queen of Younger Cosmological Epochs. And it sounds like this. Dark matter swirling in a gravitational undertow. Quasar jet swirling from its central black hole. The Dark Mother was born. Entropy tiger handler, cosmic caretaker forewarned, reigns in the tiger of entropy. Purple tinted photon weave in and out of her, casting off her sparks in bronze, alone in those times that were. She is a child of God, child of the universe. A huge job she's learning, swallows some of her yearning. To all those who pay her no mind, in a billion cubic light years, lost and redefined in a sea of cosmic tears. The beginning came when the dark disappeared, a flash from the skies, the night we feared. Spirits moved to dancing shadows, calling numbers up to 9. At the Big Bang, God only knows that none of those were prime. She keeps some of her hopes inside a Leyden jar, no derivatives to her heart's slopes. She's so near, yet so very far. Her asymptote approaches 0, an inch as good as a light year. Proximity shakes her autogyro. Planck limits, she will always fear. Parallel lines never cross on flat spacetime. Spare any black holes dross unless 9 becomes prime. 14 billion eons later, she sees a man looking up, his telescopic locator looking deep inside her makeup. The tiger whispers his name. His name is David, my queen. Beloved by you is the same. He worships you sight unseen. You should indulge yourself. Introduce yourself. She pats the tiger on his head. Then she said, perhaps I shall. Purple vapors all around my bed. The tiger of entropy tells me you are David William. She whispered breathlessly. Her hydrogen eyes are vermilion, softly glowing at me. Will you be my man? For you are the only one to see me truly as I am. Tell me true, dear reader. Can you wager a guess? You know that I just had to say yes. I loved her since, and that was a long time ago. End poem.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why I keep expecting to hear the Dark Mother's voice on the other end of that line. Because she's been a part of our lives for around here for going on, well, I don't know if she was there at the very beginning, because I was just going to say 8 years, but I'm feeling like it's more like 6 and a half that you've been writing about her, but don't quote me on that part. but it's been years. And like, I like how no matter what, she's always, yeah, you always say, my queen, you always, this character is always like treated with such respect, and you've taken her on some journeys, and you've put a few of us into the poems. I think most of us know her scent, and it's like there's this intergalactic journey that we've been taking with her since her birth, you know, or should I say since you mm-hmm. discovered her in your telescope, because that's how I can picture it, you know. And she's like, you're sitting there and you're looking at the telescope, spotting the stars, and you find her, and she comes out to find out, what are you looking at? So,
yeah.
I just,
yeah, that's
yeah.
it.
And the details are always really cool, and you always find a way to incorporate your science brain into some of the lines, because sometimes I'm like, wait, what? Because you get so technical when you write, like her hydrogen eyes. Okay, that one I can, you know, I can understand that one. But sometimes you get there and I'm like, wait, wow. And it's really cool because you get such joy out of it, and it gives you a place to put all these terms and stuff that you've learned. And then after it, we'll go and look at it, find out what it is. So you're indirectly teaching us about some of the things in space, too. So that's really, really cool. And like I said, when I introduced you at the beginning, you are the storyteller poet. This came out really, really cool. I like how you incorporated the quotes that you chose. Great work.
Thank you, Deborah.
Hatter?
What's a cubic light year? Is that a term? Or is that a play on words?
No, it's not a play on words. It's exactly what it says. It's a dimension of space that's a cube countless. You know, it's like X, Y, and Z coordinates, you know, in light years. It's just a block of space that's a cubic light year on each side, basically. There's a glossary down here on the bottom in my author's notes that explains some of the terminology here too.
Yeah, I always thought the Dark Mother was some interstellar entity, but she was looking for a man. Is she human?
To what?
Is she human? I thought she was an interstellar entity that, you know, traveled through space and time and that kind of thing.
Well, she is.
Okay, but when she says something about being your man, her man, her man.
Yeah, well, she wants to know what it's like. Back up a little bit here. She wants to know what it's like to be a human female, and so likes me because I look at her all the time, you know, and so I guess she chose me to be her teacher, which is probably not the best idea for her, but anyway, that's kind of the way it goes, you know.
Sure, it's not your guitar.
Your axe. Yeah, I wish I could say that. Yeah.
Awesome comment and raconteur.
Yeah, I, you know, the outer space and the terminology and everything, and you take us on a beautiful journey. It's easy to lose yourself in the story. I liked it.
Great comment.
Thank you.
And Stephen and Kay had to go. And let's say hello to Chaos of Delirium. Hello, Chaos.
Hello.
Ooh.
Hey, Chaos.
Hope
you all are all having a good night.
Yep. How about you?
It's all right. Getting better.
Good. Well, I went and grabbed your poem, and I'm putting it on the board if you would like to read for us. And I was just about to say, Hatter always used to like to call her the Purple Girl. Well, the Purple Girl is now went from purple to delirium. So, yeah. What does that say?
She's delirious.
Well,
right?
Yeah, what rhymes with
really,
delirium?
Right?
Probably
no,
rhyme
cool
word, no.
It's a cool new name.
Yes.
And I think it's awesome that you retired one and you're starting all fresh with the new one. And so I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the last poem you wrote on my show was by Purple Chaos. So let's hear what the Chaos of Delirium has to say.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, it's on there. Okay, I found it. This one is Living Life Writing the Minute Hand. And the quote I chose, believe I saw earlier, is by Hatter. I spied the starlight pass me by, then creep into my room.
Sounds like me.
Yep.
So, here's the poem. There are days the clock ticks too fast, pushing aside the minutes of mindfulness, rushing the sun to paint the clouds and go to ground, seconds flying into darkness to spark the stars to shine light on loneliness. Some days the clock sleeps, barely winking its minutes to hours, dragging the daylight to burn harshly until darkness finally rises to save us and creep up and keep us company.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like the thought, well, these days the clock ticks too fast, pushing aside the minutes of mindfulness. It does seem like that there's just not, some days there's just not enough hours in the days, and it's just like it flew by and you just don't, there was just never seemed to be enough time in that day. And I like, I love the thought of the brushing the sun to paint the clouds. What an awesome thought that one is. To spark the stars to shine the light of loneliness. And I never really thought about it that way, but you figure they look like, you know, they're pretty close together, but they're really miles apart. So each one's up there and it's shining, but it's just a light and it's lonely and it can't reach or hug or I don't know. There's just something about the shine, the light on loneliness. And some days the clock sweeps barely winking its minutes. And that's those days, usually there's not anything good going on and the day drags on and on and on. So between the quote from Hatter and the art that you chose, you totally brought the art to life between the good and the bad and the images that you put to them. Dragging the daylight to burn harshly until darkness finally rises. And on those really hot days that we've been having lately, as soon as the sun goes down and it finally starts to get dark and it cools down enough to breathe and at least clear up the pea soup air, as I call it, that's pretty harsh. So we went from the days that there's not enough time and the days that there's too much, and I thought that was a clever approach. Great share. And Raconteur, what do you think?
First, I got to tell you, Deb, you sound like you're having too much fun. You got to be careful, because if you do, you'll no longer be a board member. Anyways, as far as the poem goes, I always latch onto the title, and I probably give it more meaning than I should, but this is very much appropriately titled for me. That idea that you spark when you're talking about writing a minute hand, and then you go into the days that drag and the days that fly by, it kind of makes you step back a little bit and think about, I almost want to say the pointlessness of some things. It's like, it either flies past you or it drags on and, you got no choice. You're like a cork in the sea and you're along for the ride. And, the point when you get to talking about the stars, it made me think of Billy Squire's song, Lonely is the Night. The stars winking at you and whatnot, but they're winking at you from afar and you can't reach out and touch them or anything. So, it just amplifies the loneliness. So, it had a somber sense to it as well. I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you.
Great comment. And David?
Boy, this really got me. I really loved the way you set this up. I loved the storyline in it. I was perusing the pictures, and I saw the picture, and I thought, man, I don't know what I'd do without it. But you really did a good job with this, Chaos. Time is a funny thing. Give you a little science on it without getting too technical. Albert Einstein created this thing called the space-time, and he based gravity on it and a bunch of other stuff. And time is woven into the fabric of space. I know this is kind of hard to grasp a little bit, but it's what makes things happen in the universe. If time wasn't been there, nothing would happen. We wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be stars and stuff. And so I like the way you used time in this thing. And it says that to spark the stars to shine the light on loneliness. You know, someone said that stars are a long ways apart. They truly are. Some of them are light years and parsecs away. And I think this is just... You managed to really capture my attention, and sometimes that's hard to do. But I like the last few lines in the bottom stanza. Here's a darkness finally rises to save us, and stars can creep up and keep us company. They really do, and I like to sit outside my front yard and take pictures of the stars and stuff and relax a little bit. It's been really hot out here in Oregon lately, and so it's nice to sit out in the yard and cool down and let the dog commune with nature. So this was a beautiful poem. It really was, and I thought you did it justice, and especially the prompt. It's very well written. I liked it a lot.
Thank you.
Great comment. And Howard, did I let you comment?
Did you say Heather?
Did I let you comment?
Yeah, I like the way you started with the clock ticks too fast, and then the clock sleeps, barely winking. That's a good
metaphor?
It's not a metaphor, but the explanation or use of time, I guess. Very good. And that was a good choice of quote. Good choice of quote.
It was, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Okay. Now, if you guys would click on the board, I put Wayne's link there. And I'm very excited because he's been teasing about this. He turned it into a collaboration with him and the board members. And when he said, I can't wait for you to hear it. I can't wait for you to hear it. And I said to him, uh-oh, should I be scared? So I'm anxious to hear what he did. So click on that, and I will push play. Everyone got it? Ready, Hatter?
Yep, I got it.
Okay, here we go.
This is called New Beginnings Have Begun. The beginning came when the dark disappeared, a flash from the sky. Night we feared, light become bright, as beginnings neared, while dark dissipated, shall long be revered. Darkness no longer the rule, sun shining a royal sight, the sun spread pearl rays to thread neon white light. As shadow puppets parade through the grooving lands, creatures of the night found the sunlight blinds. New beginnings of the morning light began to surge over near where the state forests merge. Magpipes and bellbirds in song ascend, where bluebirds and crickets often pretend. Bird and bees now quietly confide, turquoise wings of butterflies glide on tangerine sunset and sincere skies. Beginnings begun to see what the future supplies. Seaside shores, the mountain peaks, the view divine, copper flecks and emerald specks shine. Metallic memories of a past monarch stained in red, glittering glow to show the struggles of the dead. Kingdom knows, changing value grows, spirits move to dancing shadows, calling up numbers to nine. If you believe Pluto's one, that's fine. Gathering crowd, sing a song of life so loud, cockatoos arc freely off the highest cloud. Lying in formation by heavy loud display, infamy forever shall cherish this grandiose day. Turning time brought a duly death at an early age, as my chalk outlined body laid in a titanium cage. Darkness hovered, feeding the many on the air. It was all to know the new beginnings we share. To begin.
Wow. That he incorporated 8 quotes into there. And quite amazingly, before I finish my quote, let me open this line. Linda, how you feeling, doll?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, Deb. How are you?
I'm hanging in. I'm glad to hear from you.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you're feeling better.
Yeah, I got bored.
Yeah?
Yeah, me too.
Well, are you going to hang out and listen to a few poems, or I didn't see one. I'm
yeah.
Sure you didn't get it. Oh, all right.
No, I didn't put one in, so I just thought I'd come and hang out.
That is, I'm glad. Not a problem at all. Now, let me go back to Wayne's here now. Between the music in the background and the way he threaded in all these quotes, 8 quotes, and he turned it into this story, really brilliantly, and I do admit I wasn't sure where he was going to go, but this is vivid and filled with images, and he totally threaded them in for a cohesive story. I like darkness no longer the rule, sun shining a royal sight, unspreads pearl rays that thread neon white light as shadow puppets parade through the grove in line. Hey, I think that's mine. And the birds and bees now quietly confide. Of course, you got to go to where the butterfly is. And I think that was one of the ones that I thought people might think was me, but I'm pretty sure that was Sweet Pea. So, like, I really love the way that these are threaded in. Kingdom knows, changing values grows, spirit move in dancing shadows, calling numbers up to 9. If you believe Pluto is 1, that's fine. And that made me giggle a little bit because, hey, I'm sorry, you gave that. They gave Pluto the title of planet, and in my mind, Pluto will forever be a planet. That's changing it to, oh, no, maybe it's not. It's now it's a dwarf or it's a this or that. Now it's still a planet in my book. So I thought it was cool that Pluto is mentioned in there. And I like gathering crowd, sang the song of life so loud, cockatoos arc freely off the highest cloud. I mean, Wayne, I think that you – took each one and expanded on it, and you did it in an amazing way. And let me see something. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So each quote is a stanza, and you threaded your words with it, and you turned it into an understandable start-to-finish story. I'm always impressed, but I can't believe that you just so perfectly threaded all those quotes in. And I like the ending there. Darkness hovered, feeding the mania on the air, leaving all to know was the new beginnings we share. And just the thought of us all sharing new beginnings is really, really awesome. And it's an excellent share. Thank you very much. And Linda, you want to comment on that?
You know, I didn't get to hear it.
Okay, I wasn't sure how long you were there. Not a problem at all. Hatter, what did you think of that masterpiece of so many quotes?
Yeah, I thought it was cleverly done. The Pluto comment, yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson didn't do his reputation very good. I think he's most hated theorist
yeah.
there is for demoting Pluto from the planet. But I thought it was very good.
Don't blame him.
Blame the science.
I'm wondering what I know. He's got a couple of my quotes, my lines in there, and he got it right, I believe. Mine, but I think he's off on some of the who wrote what. I'm curious to know how everybody did. I did terrible.
Well, after our poll today, he said, well, I'm not very good at guessing quotes on the board, so I don't know. We'll see. But I will post who got the most and stuff like that after this.
The Pick Mac Poe, he was a champion. He did very good there, so I don't believe that for a minute.
He did do very good there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Raconteur, can you comment, please?
To me, Pluto will always be a dog. I love it, Wayne. You know, I'm not surprised at all. I got images of you know, back in the day with the coffee shops and beatniks, snapping fingers, and the cigarette hanging from your mouth, and the guitar in the background just amplified that feeling. you took us, you know, back in time. In addition to your script, that took us out in space. So. I thought you did a fantastic job, like you always do. Big piece, Wayne.
I got that same image, but I didn't mention it because the way he read it and the cadence, I thought it would beat next, too. I wish I had mentioned it.
Yeah.
See me with the glasses and the, you know, smoky coffee
house. We have to put our phones down on speakers and do snaps afterwards of poem.
Snap. Yeah. That's cool.
I could hear
so
it
cool.
too. How cool. That's what they do at live readings, Hatter. The whole, after it's done, the whole place breaks out and they start clapping, like, you know, snapping their fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
I could hear
back her. Yeah. Yeah. The beat mix.
I don't think anyone's going to get a beret on his head, though.
I don't have a beret. Not much of a hat person.
No, but there's dark glasses.
Yeah,
maybe
glasses.
A mustache. Maybe a thin mustache.
I can do all black with the glasses, but I don't think I can pull off a beret.
Oh, not even a raspberry beret?
Not even. Sorry. I hate hats. David, can you comment, please?
Yeah. I thought Wayne did a heck of a good job of hooking all of these lines together and making it cohesive. I thought that was really neat. This little thing down here on the third to last stanza says, if you believe Pluto is one, That's fine. That demoting Pluto from a planet status to a whatever they did has to be one of the most hated decisions that any science people have ever made, I think. Nobody likes that idea. Well, I guess it's because we've all grown up, you know, went through school and stuff and, you know, and that sort of thing. And everybody was told that the last planet in the solar system was Pluto, and now all of a sudden it's not. And I think that was clever that he put that in there that way. And he did a really good job in storytelling this and making it all make sense. I thought it was wonderful.
Great comment. And, okay, let me see here. I'm going to read for Miss Heavenly Angel because she's out in the chat room and I don't know how long she has. Just writing something. Okay. Now, okay, Angels is on the board, so please click on that. And the quotes that she wrote to are number 14, turquoise wings of butterflies glide on tangerine sunsets in sangria skies, and also number 16, waterways weave a tapestry of life through a botanical forest. And I think they're both sweet. Okay, and the poem is A Day Spent in Wonderland by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Turquoise wings of butterflies glide on tangerine sunsets in sangria skies, a virtual wonderland that even Alice couldn't imagine. A canopy of crimson-laden leaves along waterways weave a tapestry of life through the botanical forest, fragrant with flowers of varying hues. Coolness caresses my cheek, steering my mind to a soulful place of simple stillness, bringing about Cheshire cat smiles. End poem. Wow. Okay, for starters, I really like that this is a trip into a day into Wonderland there. I thought that was a clever approach. And I think that the two quotes that she chose are blended in really, really well. And I like in the middle there, a canopy of crimson-laden leaves along the waterways weaves a tapestry of life. And the ending there, coolness caresses my cheeks, steering my mind to a soulful place. And then the cherry on top is that the day there in Wonderland inspired Cheshire cat smiles. I thought that was a really clever touch. And like I said, the cherry on top, a great way to close out the poem. So that was very, very cool. Great brevity, Angel. I enjoyed it, and it was my honor to be your reader. And Hatter, what you think?
Oh, I love any Wonderland, right, the virtual Wonderland that even Alice couldn't imagine, canopy of crimson laden. She writes so well. So it's the puzzle of poetry is picking the right words to go together to create what, you know, emotion or imagery, and she does it very well, man.
Great comment. And Raconteur?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I particularly like the Cheshire Cat, only because he was my favorite character from that. I used to always, you know, be walking around with that stupid grin on my face. So I loved that cat. But the whole piece, the colors and the movement and the emotion, it's just, it kind of takes you away to Wonderland, like you said. And, you know, Wonderland, even Alice couldn't imagine, which, you know, technically it was Lewis Carroll, but we won't go there.
Okay. And Linda, can you comment?
Sure. I thought this was really beautiful. And I like the the tinges of color here and there. It made it pop. But, yeah, I like the way she wrote her words. The turquoise wings of butterflies glide on tangerine sunsets and sangria skies, a virtual wonderland that even Alice couldn't imagine. That's that's quite a statement, you know, and it's got such good imagery here. And I like the way she artistically placed her words to give it a little, like, shape to it. But it was a great poem. I really liked it. Thank you, Angel.
Awesome comment. And let me get one more from David.
Oh, this was really beautiful. I agree with Hatter. Anything that's got Alice in Wonderland in it, I'm all for it. this was really, really well written. It's very descriptive. It describes the picture prompt really well, and it's just got enough of a hint of fantasy in it to hold, you know, to keep your attention. And I really like that. She didn't go on and on with it. It's a beautiful piece of brevity. You know, it's, 12 lines? Beautiful, the way it's written. And maybe more than that, I guess. But anyway, my math isn't very good. Anyhow, this is a beautiful poem. And like I say, I love the storyline in it. Angels always does really good work as far as I'm concerned. I always like reading and hearing her poetry read. It's wonderful.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. And I am going to grab the next poem. It's the wee hours of the morning where Tony is, so let me get that poem up there. The poem by Titus Llewellyn's on the board. If you guys will click on there, I will play. Just shout when you're ready.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay, Linda?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, cool. Here we go.
The Holy Grail, the perfect woman. I will admit having spent a lifetime having found the perfect abstract theory. A shadow puppets before when enzymes did change for the good account. My query dark scatters my friends the protein of man. The trans-dimensional loop denizen, it would account being unspoilt when she had been given everything in life. Then one is to spread through daylight's purity, where this is found, then forever the child. Impurities are measured in the way durity, those imperfections a girl as we styled. The same can be said of relationships. The pearl inside has found its perfect form. If managed to immobilize the worship, he bedules her eyes to the cairngorm. to become infatuated by the darker threads. Worn lightly in those nightclubs in their threes, the test of time is rancid. But instead, to bring the human species to its knees, one procures longing and belonging to. It takes time to erase the doom and gloom. To have him now resist her, both must do. The purity of love transposes to illume.
Okay, for one thing, that the music in the background had this spiritual, I think it was, feel to it, like a hymn. And then the Holy Grail, the perfect woman, I kind of really love the fact that he calls the perfect woman the Holy Grail. And then tells us why, I will admit, having spent a lifetime, having found the perfect abstract theory as shadow puppets before. And shadow puppets, I remember being a piece of the quote, which might have even been mine, I'm not positive. But I like how he takes the nuances from some of the quotes, and then he incorporates them, but then, I mean, just takes us on this amazing journey. One is to spread through daylight purity, where this is found, then forever the child impurities are measured in the way, Doherty. Those imperfections a girl has restyled. There's just... to become infatuated by the darker thread worn lightly in those nightclubs and the threes. The test of time is rancid, but instead to bring the human species to its knees. And how many times has it been said that a particular woman has brought this or that man to their knees, but they've never said it in such an amazing way that the wording... I think we're often saying, oh, nobody does this like that one, or nobody does that like that. Well, nobody writes with such clever, brilliant wording, and it's just like, I would never think to put them some of those ways, but once he does, you're like, oh, wow, how incredible is that? But to bring the human species to its knees once procures longing and belonging to. I mean... There's a word like procures. I don't know that if I've ever seen a word like that in anybody's poems but his. And at the ending there, to have him now resist her, both must do. The purity of love transposes to a loom. I mean, just...
Is that your line? Quote four, is that yours?
One?
Quote four, the sun spreads pearl rays. F-A-P, right?
Procure longing? That's Tony. That's Titus.
No. The quote four, the sun spread pearl rays that thread neon white light as shadow puppets parade through the grove in lines. That's four.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it sounds like mine.
Is it you? Okay. That's what he said.
I do. If it wasn't me that time, you will find that I do use. Yeah, it's mine. I do use the phrase shadow puppets. Usually when I'm writing something dark, not something really gorgeous like this. So you know.
Did you say,
like I said?
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Did you try to throw us off with the periwinkle line, and that's not yours?
I tried to throw everybody off with everyone I chose, Hatter.
I didn't bite.
The ones that rhymed, there was one or two that were sweets, and she's not a rhymer, so it would be kind of boring, I would think. But, yeah.
I know. When I saw Periwinkle, I figured that she's tricking us here.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I was trying to make it not obvious anyway. But back to this for a minute. The trans-dimensional loop. What an awesome phrase there. I mean, like I said, he he spins these and he puts them together, and I was like, who would have thought? But they just read so flawlessly. And then if you look at the art he chose with the women to flow through there, it's just the total package. And I like how he also usually takes the time to put these little, I guess, sort of a glossary in case we don't know, or to tell us about the Greek mythology, the stuff that inspired him to write the stuff he shares with us, too. So along with hearing a brilliant poem, we get to learn some unexpected stuff from a lot of his poetry. And then, like I said, that background music and his voice and the way he pronounces things, it's always a treat to hear him. Great share. And David, what do you think?
Well, you know, this is one of these poems I have to go over about 3 or 4 times before I grasp all of it or percentage of it. And but I did like the last stanza in there quite a bit. It says, to become infatuated by the darker thread worn lightly us in those nightclubs in their threes. The test of time is rancid, but instead to bring the human species to its knees. One procedure longing and belonging to, it takes time to erase the doom and the gloom to have him now resist her. Both must do the purity of love transposed to a loom. That kind of reminds me of some of the one I met on eHarmony. just wrote a poem about that today, as a matter of fact. But anyway, this was a really remarkable write. I like the way he puts things together. I like this little thing about Euler's identity up here on the top and talking about the square root of negative or square root of 2 with negative 1, which is an imaginary number. So anyway, I like this a lot. It was really neat. I like the music that he used in the background, too. It was cool. Good job, Tony.
Awesome comment. And before I get a comment from Linda, let's say hello to Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
Glad you're here, dear heart.
Thank you.
I don't know if you heard Tony's, but if you did, I'll get you to comment after Linda. Linda, comment, please.
Yes. You know, when I first got on All Poetry and I heard one of Tony's poems, I went, huh. And then when I commented on it, I remember saying that this guy was quickly becoming one of my favorite poets on All Poetry. And now today, I look back and think, how silly. Of course he's one of my favorite. His work is just so phenomenal, and the way he puts his words out is so poetically, like, precise. But the imagery in this is so profound, and just, I don't even know what my favorite part is. But to become infatuated by the darker thread worn lightly in those nightclubs in their threes, this test of time is rancid, but instead to bring the human species to its knees. Great rhyme there, first of all. It's so subtle. And what he's saying is so profound. Tony, I just love his work. The whole thing is beautifully written, and I just love the way he puts his words. This is great, Tony. Thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. And Sweet, can you comment?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. I really like the transdimensional loop, and I cannot say the word because it's just my southern thing, but Denzin, I believe, is the next word. I'm sure that Denison, okay, and I'm probably sure it's the literary version of an inhabitant, you know, a particular place, you know, something like that, as you're meant to be. But I want Tony to know that it's also a very good white rum. So I kind of think that fits there too. It would count being unspoiled, which he has been given everything in life. So, hey, a white rum goes a long way with a good woman too. Just kidding. But one is to spread through daylight purity where this is found, and forever the child. Impurities are measured in the way. Purity, can't read, I don't have my glasses either. There are no imperfections. Well, the same can be said of relationships. The pearl inside has found its perfect form. It managed to immobilize the worship. I really like this. I like the title a lot, The Holy Grail, The Perfect Woman, because I think the Holy Grail is also the perfect gentleman. One of my favorite things to say to gentlemen, because I've been in a lot of boardrooms and I've been in a lot of situations based on what I do for my career, is, well, you wanted to be in the boardroom and you wanted to be here. You want to be, you know, that doesn't stop me from being a lady. And that shouldn't stop you from being a gentleman, just because I wanted to be paid equally for my knowledge. Doesn't mean you don't get to open a door. You don't have to stop being a gentleman, and I don't have to stop being a lady. And I think we forget that sometimes. So I really like that this is an ode to a perfect woman, because we need perfect ladies. We need perfect men. We just need to recognize differences, and I really found that to be beautiful in here. And that doesn't mean we're less of or they're less of. We're just equal in different ways and expressing that, and I really think this is great.
Chivalry's not dead.
It's not, and neither is feminism.
Awesome comment. And my sweet, to put you on the spot just a little, I was hoping that you would read Hatter's birthday poem for him.
Oh, I would love to read Hatter's birthday poem.
Well, then it's on the chat wall. Please do.
All right. Okay. Let's go to Hatter's birthday poem. All right. Well, first I got to get to the group team of voices because I was on. All right. Take My Hand in Wonderland, a tribute poem to J. Hatter. Happy birthday, sirs. Tick-tock sang the pocket Tick-tock sang the pocket watch on the white bunny. Wild child woman screaming out of time, minus rhyme followed. The rabbits hoppity hoppity hop. Down the path through a tree, rolling past the formalities of sonnets and AABB schemes. Characters in a hook of dream, smiling cats, queen of hearts, dormouse, fields of turquoise flowers bloom around picnic tables. The maddest man wearing a plethora of hats and a face full of wisdom sat around speaking in perfect rhyme. Conversations debated around the moon, heartbreaks and decades of music, and a wild sweet pea stood silent. A mad hatter whispered with his eyes, come, it's no me, sweet potato pie. At that moment, a wild woman was blessed. Tender is his laugh with me, and he kept me smiling when I wasn't sure of my next heartbeat. Courage and strength are in the words he speaks and the word he inks. A dog named Blue watches over him and lives in my Amadeus. Hatter loves to feed his favorite one-horned goat named Joe. Keeps him furry and fat for the next Christmas show. In black and white he draws, but visit in color he dreams. Sweet potato pie and the maddest of hatters. With giggles and teardrops we have walked the path of Wonderland. Held hands, talked the talk of friends, and tried the problems of man. Never forget my maddest of hatters. If you feel alone, reach for my hand. I'm always here for you in Wonderland. Happy birthday, my mad one. And Paul.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, Hatter.
Boy, I guess you know me. Dog named Blue, drawn in black and white. Jeez. Sweet potato pie. Fedora of hats. You know, when you, when, it hasn't happened in a long time, but when you get into that rhyming mentality, sometimes it bleeds over into conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Would you stop that? Would you stop it? Okay. I mean to. Just everything's going up in your head. This is good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Wow.
Awesome, sweet. This came out really cool, and I like how you put in little, not really subliminal messages, but little pieces of things that you learn about somebody over the years. And of course, there's little aspects of Wonderland and the rabbit and stuff like that, but you also incorporated, like, his dog and little things that you knew would make him smile, and I think you did it quite brilliantly. And also, of course, you had to include sweet potato pie, so really cool. And I moved it to one show to another, and stuff kept happening, so I was like, I don't care. If she shows up, I'm bringing it to this show. So I'm glad she got to read it.
Me too.
It was something that had to be read to him by you, so way cool.
Thank you.
Way cool. Unmuted.
I think she said she had to leave for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Let me see here. Linda, will you comment, please?
Sure. This was beautiful. I mean, you had every aspect in there that could make a person feel like at home and loved and cared for. And the wonderful way you wrote this is like whimsical and enchanting and why my computer's not working now. The picture prompt is so cute, and I just, you know, I loved every bit of it. I'm having a little hard time thinking right now, but it was a beautiful poem, and I'm sure that it has all kinds of Hatter stuff in it, which made him smile, and that's the coolest thing a poem can do, is make us smile or make us cry, but yeah, make us smile. So nice poem.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Fabulous comment.
Sorry, I'm not thinking. I'm not thinking. My brain had.
You take care of yourself.
Yeah, no, that was a great comment. Yeah, no, that was a great comment. Don't even think that. Yeah. Okay, sweet. Do you need to read the other one right now, or should I do one in between and then have you do that one? What do you think?
I can actually read back to back. I'm running really late tonight, and I apologize.
Okay, not a problem. That's why I wanted to check. All right, let me grab that, and I will have that there in just a moment. And okay, on my way to the voices board. Here we go. Okay, if you tell us what quote you chose and then read, thank you very much.
I chose number 4, the sun spreads pearl rays that thread neon white light as shadow puppets parade through the grove in lanes. Number 9, the beginning came when the dark disappeared, a flash from the sky is the night we feared. And number 15, spirits move to dancing shadows, calling numbers up to 9. So, this is quadrant 263. this is quadrant 263, and I'm all upset that David left, but oh well. White knights on black horses keep the secrets of skeletons. Wandering the hallowed lands, their satchels heavy with screams. Keys crackled in hymnal tones to the marching of bone on stone. Skeleton skin burned on bones, eyes set deep, fins, lips, no teeth. Once called humans on a planet named Earth, now enslaved for crimes against the universe. Called to judgment, 1 to 9. A string of unpolished pearls eroding to dust step by step. Puppets unstring, mindless of the pain inflicted on their victims. The day darkness lifted its spell and unveiled evil in the shades of fire. Mars, Venus, Saturn, Earth, Jupiter, Neptune, Mercury, Uranus, dead. Violence of wars, destructions of greed destroy quadrant 263. Definitions of humanity stricken from all records. Courts honor no mercy. No excuses for the crimes, all are blamed and put to shame. Hands are bound and faces covered as heads roll and blood is pouring. The sun is shining in its morning. Nightmares come in shades of warning. End poem.
It is a shame that David didn't get to hear this one, especially since you have quadrant right there in your title, so you pull it out of science word from the get-go there. I love that first line, sweet. White knights on black horses keep the secrets of skeletons. Like, whoa. Just that alone is a pretty amazing opening. And the thought of the white knights on black horses keep the secrets of skeletons. It's just a brilliant, you know what? That's such a brilliant line. It should be a prompt, just saying. Skeleton skin burned on bones, eyes set deep. Just to keep the image from those skeletal things going there, it's kind of wicked. And then you list the planets and the violence of wars, destruction of greed, destroyed quadrant 263. And it just sounded like something that you would have heard in the captain's log on Star Trek or something for some reason. And definition of humanity stricken from all records. Whoa. It's just like definitely. I could almost hear that one stanza right there in like Captain Kirk's voice or something, you know. It was just really cool. And hands are bound and faces covered as heads roll and blood is pouring, the shining in its morning. Nightmares come in shades of warning. What an ending. But heads roll and blood is pouring. I mean, the visuals throughout this, wicked, wicked. And it's just like I said, there's just something about it. I understood as you were reading why you were a little bummed that David left, because he probably would have got a mega kick out of it. And I also find it quite interesting that you left the poor little tiny, took the title of Planet Away Pluto off the list.
I did. I kind of just stuck to the quadrant, and, you know.
I know. I just felt, since we were mentioning it earlier about it being ripped off and taken away, I figured I would just mention it. See, it's just they took his poor title away. But this is really cool, bold, and vivid and impressive. What do you think, Patter?
Is that a quadrant, an actual coordinate number, 263?
No, absolutely not. It rhymes with mercy. Okay. I thought you'd be impressed.
No, I was impressed that you made one up, if it wasn't. That's pretty good. No, it goes along with the total annihilation. When we're finding tools in rock that's 2 billion years old or something. They can't explain it. Well, it could very, very well lead into the theory that the Earth has been populated. Thank you very much. Populated in other times, millions of years ago, and then something hits, you know, an asteroid hits the Earth, and everything's destroyed, and we start again. There's good evidence that that has happened like 4 or 5 times, I guess. Is that what you're leading on?
I just think that it's just kind of like humans destroyed our Earth, and in the process we destroyed Mars, Venus, we destroyed, you know, quadrant 263, and the other universe has put us on, you know, they judged, and we're all dying, and pretty much, like I said, you know, they've got us in jail, and we're, you know, dust to dust, puppets on a string. I you know, we're marching in our little enslaved area, and we're in prison, and eventually they're just going to murder us all. We're all on death row. Just weird things in my head.
It's a scary thought thinking there's a big rock out there with our name on it, too.
Yeah, you know.
Full annihilation.
Sure. Great comment. And Linda?
Yeah, you know, sweet, you're just a brilliant writer. This has got so many shades of darkness and light in it that it's incredible. And the ending is like my fave. No excuses for the crimes. All are blamed and put to shame. Hands are bound and faces covered as head rolls and blood is pouring. The sun is shining and it's morning. Nightmares come in shades of warning. That is a brilliant, brilliant verse right there. And the whole thing just has an air of mathematics to it, you know, with your quadrant 263, definitions of humanity stricken from all record, courts honor no mercy. Just really beautifully written verses. I loved it. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Great comment. And Chaos, are you back? Did you hear the poem?
Yeah, I'm back.
Do you want to comment?
Sure. I thought it was really interesting combining the kind of almost sci-fi feel with it, with knights and horses. Of course, I've seen a lot of like films that do that, and I've always been interested in that kind of thing. But I love that there's like a universal justice to this, that we eventually have to pay for what we've done, and it's, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment.
Problem is some other generation is going to pay for it. The people that are responsible won't have to deal with the consequences, I don't think. The generation that's behind us.
Every generation gobbles it up with greed. They ain't stopping
everyone.
It. That's right.
Great comment, everyone. Thank you. And Sweet, before you go, do you know what's happening on Thursday?
Thursday is going to be my second happy birthday. We are going to talk about my third anniversary of getting my heart. It's my second anniversary.
Moo.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be cows, birthdays, second chances, all of that on any of those subjects because I am coming up on 3 years.
That's awesome.
Wow, it's been 3 years. I can't
believe
that.
3 years.
I was just thinking the same. Wow. All right.
And 3 years.
3 years.
Yep. It's
going to be a great anniversary. Too cool.
Yep.
Or second birthday, as you said. Very cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thank you again for reading both of those poems. And if you guys would click on the board, I put Gerald's link there. And tell me when you see it, and I'll push play.
I got it.
Got it.
Got it.
Revival. Written and read by Gerald Green. The once golden meadow of buttercups and ferns has soured like milk in the back of the fridge, ignored or forgotten by his vigorous pace. He abandoned that mystical, magical place. Grit is his world in the city of lights, a harbor of noise in a turbulent sea, where danger and hunger hold hands in the dark, as he sits on an ebony bench in the park. He tries to compose with his favorite pen, but thoughts won't congeal and cannot escape, like words in a bottle under marmalade skies, flying downstream on red dragonflies. Desperation reaches out with its cold weathered hands and clenches his throat with a crushing desire to stifle the sound of its fierce penalty that laughs in the shadows at his lost legacy. But that was the moment, the singular moment the sun painted pink in the pre-dawning sky, awakening memories and passion's dim flame, reviving ambition, repudiating blame. His eyes were now glistening, reflecting a zeal, a flood of ideas overwhelming with speed, released from the shackles and now running free, the ink flowed, a stream to a blue, placid sea. End poem.
Oh, my, oh, my. I'm looking at the picture there, and I'm just blown away by the story that goes here, like the once golden meadow of buttercups and ferns. Just that opening image there is absolutely gorgeous. I think it was the fourth stanza. Desperation reaches out with its cold, weathered hands and clenches his throat with a crushing desire to stifle the sound of its fierce penalty that laughs in the shadows of his lost legacy. And I'm thinking, talk about really awesome thoughts there, the lost legacy. And I'm trying to see, I don't see the quote. I was just trying to peek real quick. And then down at the closing stanza, his eyes were now glistening, reflecting a zeal, a flood of ideas overwhelming with speed, released from the shackles and now running free, the ink flowed a stream to a blue, placid sea. Between the thoughts of his muse being so inspired that it just flowed, and then the metaphor of it being like flowed to a stream of blue, placid sea, the images throughout this is just as magical as some of the wording. And I like that the idea of the title, Revival, like revival, it just went so well. And Grit is his world in the city of lights, a harbor of noise and a turbulent sea. Just the thoughts and the images, they took us on a journey, and the vividness of the art matches the vividness of his wording. And then there was something in his voice in this read, like a little extra enthusiastic or something. I can't quite put my finger on the mood, but there was definitely a mood to his read. So I think that he really enjoyed this one, and you got to love when that happens, when the joy of the write comes out and the voice as it's being read. So I thought this came out fantastic. And
Which one of us used Marmalade?
I think Sweet, but I'm not positive. Could have been me. I'm not sure. But I do happen to know that in the interim of when this show was postponed until this week, I got a message from Gerald, and he was on his way to a camping trip. So have a fun time, Gerald, and thank you for supporting the show. I appreciate it. And let me see here. Sweet, I know you have to go. You want to comment first, please?
Yeah, I cannot believe how vivid and beautiful the imagery is in this. I mean, his colors, they're just like put you in to the scene. I love Gerald's writing, but who doesn't? But this is just, it's like a vivid, vivid painting. I mean, he usually has such outstanding imagery, but this is, I don't know, this one's like one of my favorites. He just has you swirling into it. I don't really know how much to say. I mean, the lines are beautiful and everything like that, which I could repeat every one of them. But this time, I just feel like I'm part of it. Like, you know, like you could insert yourself in there and just stay there because it's serenity and tranquil, and I want to be one of the colors he's talking about.
I appreciate you calling, and I will see you on Thursday. And I will message you when I find out how AP made out. And
Thank you. Talk
to you soon. All right.
All right. Bye, honey.
Bye. And Hutter, what did you think?
Yeah, bye, sweets. Welcome back, Gerald. Good to have you back. There was something in his voice. It's a storytelling. He's got a narrator voice that's made for storylines, you know. Where was it? He used the Marmalade Sky is flying down. Yeah, James. Which lines were used the most? Do you know? That one seems to be picked a couple times.
I'm not really sure. I know a couple used the one with the butterfly, and a couple used the one with the sangria from Sweet. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Okay.
I think there's been a nice spread in the variety this time.
I didn't do so well. You see, I got you and Sweets mixed up quite a bit, I think.
Okay, I was trying to get not easy, so that's all good. Awesome comment, though. Linda, what did you think?
I thought this was really cool, and it's good to have Gerald back because his poetry is so vibrant, and the way his voice sounds when he's reading his poetry is just out of this world cool, and this is very a very strong piece with a lot of cool metaphors and the imagery in it is just bright and I really liked it. Thank you, Gerald, for sharing this with us. And what's up with AP?
He is in surgery on his arm. And I will give you a little more detail off the air, but I'm hoping to hear from him after the surgery. So just keep him in your thoughts.
Okay.
And
great.
Chaos, do you want to comment for Gerald?
A lot has already been said that I would say about the colors and the vibrancy of this. I love this part, and it's the third stanza. It's split between him and the other poet. The first half is his, and then the second half is the quote. but it says he tries to compose with his favorite pen, but thoughts won't congeal and cannot escape. I have some things that I write with. I have a Sharpie. I write a lot with Sharpies, and it's like, if it won't come with a Sharpie, probably it's not going to come out. It was just like, I don't know, that just struck me as you have your favorite things to write with, and if your favorite writing utensil isn't going to write, you're just hopeless at that point in time. But then it says, like, where it's been a bottle ruined or marmalade dies, flying downstream on red dragon dies. Which, those are beautiful lines, too. I'm not sure who they belong to. I couldn't really guess the lines very well. But it did a pretty good job of picking some lines that were hard to guess. Because some of the colors would, you'd go, oh, that's got to be Deb because the colors that are in it. But then they can't all be hers with the colors in it. But anyway, I really love that stanza, even though it's split between two people. I love the composition. And I love the vibrancy of this poem.
Awesome, and you know, no, that's right. But I'm getting a real kick out of the fact that after bombarding everyone with color through my shows for the last nearly 2 years, that when I was looking for the quotes, there were so many that were filled with colors, and the more and more time goes by, the more color that everybody in the group has been using in their poems. So much so that it was an easy way to fool people, because everybody, you know, I mean, I'm affectionately called the crayon poet, and like now everybody's using all my crayons, and it makes it harder for people to make their guesses. And I love that, you know, it made it easier to pick quotes where I didn't want it to be obvious. So if I went with like only free verse, the first guess would have been sweet, because Hatter, AP, and I all rhyme predominantly. So I wanted it to be not easy, and it seems to have worked. So very cool.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that the quote I used was Hatter's.
Awesome. See, that was part of the fun of it, to see what people thought. And a lot of people already said, oh, I didn't do so well. So I guess I did a good job at picking ones that would be hard. All right, let's see here. Linda, no pressure if you're not feeling up to it, but would you like to read for Crystal?
Sure.
Okay, just refresh. It should be on the board.
Hey, Deb, you got 7 minutes before we go overtime if you want to get something on the air.
No, I'll just do it all in the wrap-up. I'll keep the flow going. But thank you.
Okay. Dragonfly Dreams by Crystal Hope. Bathing sunlight beams mauve marmalade dusting on the dandelions of day. Dragonflies dance on petals pink from the bruised kisses of balsamic bay. Morning honeydew humming to the mockingbirds, whistling to the wind. Bottles of blue waves whisper to the sweet scents of guava green grin. Champagne crystals drip gems on the wings of brass butterflies. Coconut clouds swim in the aqua of watercolor sunset skies. Purple pistils peel the sunburned skin of lavender lily pads floating midstream. Hazy grasses graze with lazy ladybugs flying with their flutters of dragonfly dreams in poem.
Great read. Thank you. Yeah, I like, let me see here for a second real quick. Yeah, words. In a bottle under marmalade skies, flying down streams on red dragonflies. That was the quote that she chose. And that, Hatter, did you say you looked it up to find out who that was or no? Whose quote
well,
that was?
I just thought, no, it's not you. It's probably Sweet, I thought.
Think?
I'll look it up.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say I'm looking right now. Marmalade. Number one. Okay, that was... that was you. Hatter, that was you. It was from your poem, Counting Down Reasons That Drive Me Insane. Anyway, back to Crystal's poem. She turned around, and between Hatter's quote and the art, she took us on a beautiful journey through word, right from the get-go, bathing sunlight beams, mauve, marmalade, dusting on the dandelions of a day. Dragonflies dance on petals pink from the bruised kisses of balsamic bay. And the bruised kisses, just so cool there. And the third stanza, champagne crystal drip gems on the wings of brass butterflies. Coconut clouds swim in the aqua of watercolor sunset skies. It had really great rhyme and flow, and the images are pretty throughout, every bit as pretty as the art that she chose. Purple pistils peel the sunbird skin, so there was like little bits of alliteration through it. It was a really excellent job combining the two, and the rhyme's fantastic. And Linda, you did a great read. Did you want to comment?
Yeah, this was beautiful. I loved the color that she put in this. Let me get back to my computer. It really made it pop. I'm tangled here. But, this had some really nice lines in it. Morning honeydew humming to the mockingbirds, whistling to the wind. Very beautiful. Champagne crystals drip gems on the wings of brass butterflies. Her poetic thought is whimsical and enchanting, and I really loved it. So, Crystal, this was just a beautiful poem by you. I really loved it. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome comment. And Chaos, what do you think?
I think she painted a beautiful scene here. Really pretty with all of I can see the ladybugs and the butterflies and the barflies and the little creatures that are just so colorful and create such a pretty little scene here. I liked it. Not my usual darkness, but occasionally I can do pretty.
Great comment. All right, guys, if you will click on the link on the board, it's Bill the Poet, and I will push his recording. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. Here comes Phil the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Through the Storms of Life. Through the storms of life there's a light that shines, breaking the clouds of despair with hopeful signs. Deep in the mist where positivity fears to dread, scared by the thoughts that float inside your head. Through the storms of life there's a voice giving instruction to those who cannot find a way out of this destruction. Here's the lament of a man drowning in his own sin, the waves laughing with a dark demonic grin. Through the storms of life, there's a hand reaching out to a desperate soul wondering what it's all about. seaweed wrapped around the imagination, dulling the senses. Pitch blackness rules. Shadows have taken away all defenses. Through the storms of life, there's a way out of the abyss. A sanctuary of safety where the sunbeams meet with a kiss. Holding on to the garments of him who had come to see. Because you called on his name, and he answered your plea. End poem.
Awesome, Reed. If you peek on the board, I put the art that he wrote to on there. Oh, and I see that he also won a bronze award for this poem. The quote that he chose is number 9. The beginning came when the dark disappeared, a flash from the skies, the night we feared. And I like that he paired the flash from the sky with the lighthouse, just saying. Through the Storms of Life is an amazing title. And he started each stanza with that. Through the storms of life, there is a light that shines. Through the storms of life, there is a voice giving instruction. Through the storms of life, there is a hand reaching out. Through the storms of life, there is a way out of the abyss. I like how each stanza starts with that, and he takes us further. So that I leave stuff, I'll just use the last one. Through the storms of life, there is a way out of the abyss, a sanctuary of safety where the sunbeams meet with a kiss, holding on to the garments of him who calmed the sea, because you called on his name, and he answered your plea. I think that that is an absolutely gorgeous stanza. And the thought of a beacon in a lighthouse and the thought of the beacon in when you called his name, and the sense of I guess there was a mixture of emotions where even in the sorrow, if you call his name, you'll get help. And if you're looking to the sky in the darkness, there'll be the light. So I just thought it was really cool. And to use life as the storm of life, was a really brilliant approach to it as well. Then you take the AABB rhyme throughout. It's not forced, and the flow is great, and the journey that he took us on is quite beautiful, so it's easy to see why he won an award for this one. Fantastic share, Phil. Thank you very much. Linda, what do you think?
Well, Phil is an amazing, amazing poet, and this is an example of what a great poet he is. And the rhyme scheme is really incredible, and he does it so well. And he's, you know, this is a spiritual poem. Through the storm of life, there's a light that shines. Well, to me, that's heaven above, that's God reaching out his hand to help us through the worst times of our lives, through our storms, and pulling us out of the abyss and reaching out. And I love spiritual stuff. So, Phil, this was a beautiful, beautiful poem by you. Thank you for sharing it.
And Heather?
Yeah, Phil never left us down. I love the way, where is it? To a desperate soul wondering what it's all about, seaweed wrapped around the imagination. The great line. When the poet wars begin, he wants him on my side, for sure. Very good.
That was a really cool comment. And Chaos?
I do know how to operate a phone, I promise. I love the repetition of the first line. or part of the first line, you know. And the way that it goes from hopeful, it seems like it's hopeful and then hopeless and then goes back to hopeful again. If I've got that right, I don't know. This is having interesting technical difficulties here. A ghost just popped up and died on me. And yes, that's very difficult to explain.
That sounds scary to
there
me.
There it is. I have a poem again. There's a ghost on the tablet, and I guess I killed it. I didn't feed it or bathe it or something. So it died. But anyway, now that I can see it again. But I love the positive ending of this. It's just absolutely beautiful, the ending of this. And I'm just going to leave it alone there.
Okie dokie. All right.
After my ghost died.
I know, right? The ghost is dead. And the funny thing is, I thought a ghost, just the word ghost, already indicated that they were dead. So I'm now trying to figure out how the ghost died. So that's a pretty scary thought.
That's okay. I have to resurrect it after it dies.
Ah, okay. The resurrection of the ghost. Interesting. All right. Like I said, we have four left. If you click on LG Mace, I'll read for her. And she wrote to quote number two, water flows into the ever after as magnolias wave and orange blossoms bloom. And the poem is called Waves of Magnolia Blooms by LG Mace. Here we go. See the waves of magnolia blooms float upon midnight majestic sea, only waiting for the wonder of orange flowers to appear secretly, watered by flow of the coursing stream into the ever after. See the almost unseen flashes of firefly scatter in the stardust of opalescent picturesque full moon, as the invisible and uncaged nightingale sings a soulful tune, the crown of mixed flowers of this fairy princess in white gives the hidden butterflies such winsome delight. And somewhere in the place where the waters to the ever after are sent floats the secret blooming orange blossom that ever after, perfuming the air with the heavenly aromas scent. End poem. I thought the images here are absolutely gorgeous. The you could just sit back and listen to the words and picture. And I'm grabbing it so that you can see what I mean. But like she started with the flowers, but she took us through with the fairy and the moon and all the beauty that is in here. And I am, where is, here we go. But you could see the image of her with her flowered crown and the moon shining on her and the magnolias all around her through every word that was written here. So I think that she incorporated the art and the, quote, beauty. And it was my honor to be her reader. Thank you for sending this in, LG. And let me get you some quotes. Linda, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what you said about the way this poem kind of grabs you. The words, I could almost smell the orange blossoms floating by. It was like really cool, but the imagery in this is profound, and really brought out the nuances of this poem. Really good job, LG. I really loved your poem. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda and Hatter.
Is she a new member to our group, LG Miss? I don't recognize the name.
Somewhat, yeah. She's actually last month, or was it the month before? Either way, she won a silver in the AP Taylor contest.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so she's been around since one or two contests ago, so approximately 2 months-ish.
She writes very beautifully, the poet puzzle. Where was the part? As the invisible uncaged nightingale sings a soulful tune. That reminded me of when I was up on Chicken Mountain. We separated, we had pasture geese and the free range geese, two different gaggles, and there was fencing between. Anyway, we had to switch the gaggles, right, the male, and the sorrowful sound that the hens would give all for about 4 or 5 days during the night. They just called for this. I didn't know geese could be sorrowful, but that's what this sounds like. Now that's what that reminded me of.
Cool saying. Comment. And Linda, did I already have you comment? I lost track for
yeah.
a second. Okay. Now let me see here. What I'm going to do is we have like three more left. Did you want to read another one, Linda?
Sure.
Okay, this one is Jenny's, and I'm putting it on the board. As soon as you see it, please go ahead and read.
Visited by my unexplained phenomena guardian angel by Jenny the Deep. Something wicked comes my way. An unexplained phenomena fills up my day. Could it be? It couldn't be, could it? My guardian angel came back down for another visit, lifting mountains and spreading seas to reach me, telling me to change my ways or cruel my demise will be. As he lectures me, I am stuck in a trance. At the end of his speech, he gives me one more chance. Living out the rest of my days in a haunted mess, from dusk until dawn, all I do is confess. Enduring this insanity temporarily will let me rest in peace with my angel, hopefully, in poem.
Great read. Thank you. And I think that, well, for one thing, something wicked comes my way. And I like that there's a question mark at the end of that because it leaves you wondering, what could that be?
What's the lead words that's the lead end to tell heart or something?
Something wicked this way comes. Yeah.
Oh, is that it? Cool. Nice, Lisa.
Did you say Sue?
Did
Hatter?
I say what?
I thought you
what?
Said Sue. There's a novel by Ray Bradbury, and
okay.
Yeah, it's a dark fantasy. And there's a movie as well.
Oh,
It's a movie.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, it was a book first, and then they made it into a movie. But yeah, I think that's the title and one of the lines from it as well. But so it was a play on the words there, And I like the last stanza there, my guardian angel comes back down for another visit. So it wasn't so wicked after all if it was the guardian angel, you know. So I like that there was questions there. Could it be? It couldn't be. Could it? So I like how we were worried for a moment that it was wicked, but then we found out that it was a visit from a guardian angel, which I thought was very cool. And then at the end, enduring this insanity temporarily will let me rest in peace with my angel, hopefully. And that last word, hopefully, I think leaves you with some thought there, hopefully, and you're wondering. And I guess that's all we can hope for in the end is to rest in peace, you know what I mean? So it's very thought-provoking, especially just for three stanzas. I think she did a great job with the prompt. And great read, Linda. What did you think?
I thought it was very cool. Jenny is becoming a great poet, and the way she words things is really neat. I thought the imagery in this was bold. It really had a powerful punch to it. The whole poem said, you know, a lot. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but it had a lot to say, and the way she does it is really cool. So I thank you, Jenny, for sharing this poem with us tonight. Thank you.
Awesome. And okay, we have two more left. Hatter, are your glasses nearby? Can you read the one on the board for me? No big words.
Okay. Yeah, I got my glasses. Of course I dropped them. Jesus. Okay. Okay, let me get there. By Lockdown Lark.
Yes, sir.
As a real romp. And as real romp. Nice picture. Goes like this. Don't smile at this psycho. He may check up on you. Don't even think to say or say hello. Move on without a how do you do. Azrael the Archangel does not play. Interested only in one thing. Is this your last today? The time for you souls to sing. In the twilight, in his pomp. Moving against among us with such stealth. Waiting for the time to romp in the shadows of the ill health. Helping you to the other side. No scythe, no sword needed for this. Approaching the ether, you smoothly glide with such a whisper and its kiss. Shall it be penance or set free? O Lord of darkness and night skies, I hope you are not. They are waiting for me the next time I close my eyes. Great ending. Hope you are not there waiting for me the next time I close my eyes. That's got to be the scariest thing, is being attacked when you're asleep.
Yeah, that is a scary. I hope you are not there waiting for me the next time I close. And the closing there is every bit as scary as the art he chose, don't you think?
Yeah.
Wow. Great read, Hatter. Azrael, the archangel, does not play, interested only in one thing. Is this your last today? The time for your soul to sing? Each part of it, it's got like a bit of a haunting feel, I think. I think it's back up a little. Oh, it's the next stanza. In the twilight, in his pomp moving amongst us with such stealth, waiting for his time to romp in the shadows of ill health. And it's just like I said, it's creepy and spooky and haunting all the way through. And just that picture is also creepy and haunting. So I think that he turned around and totally gave this art a story, and in it pulled us into a nightmare. And gosh, it's not one you want to see when you close your eyes. So, yeah, I agree. I hope that he's not there next time I sleep, because I do not want to see that bad boy. But a very clever work. And again, great read, Hatter. Did you want to comment more before?
Oh, I think I did.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that you were done. Before we do the last poem, Linda, can you comment for Lockdown Lark?
Yeah, he's creepy. It's just like he wrote to the prompt perfectly. And yeah, Azrael the Archangel does not play, interested only in one thing. Is this your last today? It's time for your soul to sing. Just really strong verses. And the imagery here is kind of scary. But I think Larks does a good job. You know, he's a great poet. I finally got him to come on my show, and I'm pleased to have him. But this poem is really cool. Thank you, Larks, for sharing it.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And I am, well, first I'm going to add the art that inspired the last poem. Sorry about that. I was just saying goodbye to Ms. Chaos. And I am putting the art, like I said, on the board right now that inspired the poem I'm about to read. And here it comes, which this is a really creepy piece of art too. But anyway, here you go. So take a look at that, and then I will add the, as I grab this link to add it to the board.
Holy crap, look at that picture.
Right? Isn't that creepy? Okay, so here comes the poem link. Where is Voices Now? How could it move so fast? Okay, here we go. Here comes the link. And this poem is by Pee-wee. And I'll read for him. And his poem is Cold, Callous Calamity by Pee-wee Cushion. Here we go. Reflections cast into pooled light, brighter days echo. Statuesque beauty and je ne sais quoi stealing the show. Rabbit hole of degradation, the wheel rolling my blame. No foresight of this epic descent into queen of shame. You've taken my breath and air time earmarked to give, left beat down hurt, broken and bleeding like a sieve. Crown of gilded thorns, wings stitched of the angels, freight train of pain, story 13 in your strange hell. Murder scene, papal pulpit, preach, headstone epitaph, asphyxiating sun on earth, coined a joke, you laugh. Coins, minted currency to buy and sell jester or clown. Boatsman's Stygian tide rains, repentant remorse down. Insipid, entropic, icy continents, duplicious deceiver. Queen of skull of ice and cold, yet I had believed her. Purveying purification seeps veins as decay blooms. cold, callous, calamity finale for Frost Queen entombed. Torment, grief, veneered, hideous, elegance, lost beauty. Beast of 100 eyes, on ever blinking to see. Mirrors reflect the rot, blight of suffering you'd caused. Eternal light gifted, knowing horror, suffering flaws. My, oh, my. Oh, and poem. My, oh, my. Okay.
I'm glad you read that one, Deb.
Why?
I don't think I could have gotten through that.
Well, I do admit there were some pretty tough words in there. But I was like, wow. I was so taken by the images and the eyes, and I was thinking back to the picture that I had put on the board, and every bit of the cold-hearted creepiness that's in that art, he just brought out in his wording there. And I know this is going to sound like sort of cliche-ish, but I literally got the chills in some of them, like asphyxiating the sun on the earth, coined a joke and you laugh. I mean, so many different parts, insipid, entropic, icy continents, duplicious deceiver. I mean, between the alliteration and the amazing words, it was like, whoa. I had to make sure I took my time and read each one, because for one thing, I thought if I slowed it down, it would add to the hauntingness of it. So good thing, you know, because there were a few tough words. But torment, grief veneered, and hideous elegance, lost beauty. Mirrors reflect the rot, the blight of suffering you'd caused. Eternal life gifted, knowing horror of suffering flaws. I think that he took the scary, grotesque, frostbitten horror in that art and totally brought it to life on the page here. And then he did it with a very clever AABB kind of rhyme going all the way through. And I think that this was a tormented trip. And I really, really think that he gave a storyline and brought that horror off the art to life. I hope I did the read justice for him, because, you know, I missed getting to hear him read it on his SoundCloud that he usually sends, but amazing poem. What do you think, Linda?
I thought it was incredible. And you got through it beautifully, Deb. I was just looking at some of the strings of words and going, oh, I don't think I could have got that out today. But, Pee-wee's just an amazing, amazing writer. Some of the stuff that's in here, like murder scene, papal pulpit, preach, headstone, epitaph, asphyxiating sun on earth, coined a joke, you laugh. Coins minted, currency to buy and sell, jester or clown. Boatman, Stygian, tide reigns, repentant remorse down. I mean, what a mind, what an imagination in his works over time. He's just a prolific writer, and I'm really glad that he's coming to the shows. So thank you, Pee-wee. This was just outstanding.
Awesome comment, Linda. And Hatter, you get the last comment.
Yeah, this. I'm glad he named the queen, the Frost Queen. But what got me was what you hit on, Deb, was the word rot. Smell of vision should come back. Smell is the one that, smell is the one thing that triggers trivial or the past in your deja vu type senses the most. If we were to experience the smells of a horror story, a movie, it would be more impactive, more enhanced. So yeah, bring back Smell-O-Vision.
There's one heck of a comment. Smell-O-Vision, how does the I don't know if I would want to smell that rot. Just saying.
I know. They used to do that. Yeah, used to do that in the theater.
I know. Can you imagine sitting there and be like, "Oh, what's that smell?" I'm sure it's not too far behind. You know.
Well, you wouldn't do it to it's grossed out. You just do it to enhance the experience.
Oh yeah, no, I totally get it. But whether you were trying to or not, sometimes there's some really stingy stuff there, and you know, it would definitely enhance the trip. But then you got to wonder, because like I am very susceptible to smell. So if I smelled it and it was gag worthy, I gag, and then the next guy gags, and then somebody vomits, and if I see somebody vomit, I vomit too, and then it turns into a nasty disaster, and then the poor kids who are looking up the odor, like, don't ever let them people come back, you know? Anyway.
Oh, good.
Right? Okay, so let me see here. Tomorrow night is Off the Rack with Raconteur, and he goes live at 10 o'clock, and his prompt this week is a quote, and that quote is, "What is the meaning of life?" So whatever just entered your mind when you hear the quote, "What is the meaning of life?" that is what he would like to hear from you. Sounds mighty, mighty interesting. And now I'm a little bit confused. I think Sweet was probably just trying to... Okay, because she dated, I'm going to fix that right now, because she dated her topic for tomorrow, and her show is actually Thursday, so I'm going to fix that. I'm pretty sure that we are off Wednesday, and Thursday, let me double check here, Thursday is the 27th, so I fixed that, and I'm double checking real quick just to make sure that we are off on Wednesday.
No.
Yes, we are. Okay, just making sure there. Now,
Man Cave on Friday, right? Man Cave Friday.
One last reminder that Man Cave isn't it? Oh yeah, it is. Okay. One last reminder: tomorrow, Raconteur. What is the meaning of life? Off on Wednesday, Thursday at 10. We are celebrating 3 years with Sweet Pea's new heart valve. So exciting. I can't believe that those 3 years flew by. And then on Friday is the Man Cave. Man Cave with Stephen and Hatter. And they go live at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then on Saturday night at 9 Eastern as well, we have Hatter as the host this week, and his topic is The One That Got Away, which is actually a really great song by Katy Perry, just saying. And that brings us full circle all the way back to my show next week, where the topic is the moon, and I found some quotes by famous people like Mark Twain and actually Edgar Allan Poe and Frank Sinatra and a couple others, and the art is all really cool, vivid pictures, all containing the moon, of course. And if you click on the link that I'm adding on the board, you can choose your favorite shot, and I'll see you here next week at 10. And again, Linda, I'm really, really glad you're feeling better, and I appreciate that you called and hung out with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
I got a text from AP just now. He is out of surgery.
Right.
It went well, and I am very happy to hear that. And I'm just making sure I didn't forget anything. Okay, so the board member quotes, I will sit down and take a good look at those and then let you know who the winner or winners are. And on that note, I'd like to say thank you to Kay and Steven and LG Mace and Phil and Jenny and Wayne and Titus and David and Gerald and Lockdown Larks and Angel and Pee-wee and Crystal and Raconteur and Chaos and Linda. Thank you all for supporting the show with your amazing poetry. And I want to thank, I'm getting there. I want to thank my amazing board members, my big brother Hatter and Sweet Pea and AP Taylor, the sponsor of our show. And I appreciate you all from the bottom of my heart with love and respect. And just because he was feeling slighted, I'll say again, thank you, Hatter. And Kay, keep celebrating that birthday. And I'll see you guys tomorrow night at Raconteur Show. Linda, get some rest. Love and respect, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Love and respect.
Good night.
Good night.